Awesome, everybody. Welcome back to Lipstick and Lightsabers. I am Shannon.
And I'm Alex.
And today we are talking about episodes 10, 11, and 12 of The Bad Batch. We only have three episodes left. And Alex said to me just now, she's like, are you getting worried that Tech is actually dead?
It really hit me this week. I was like, we're running out of episodes for this to be resolved.
But Alex, he says domicile.
I know. But yeah, I'm like, oh, if it was Tech, would they have, you know?
Maybe the Tech is alive theories were the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, I think it's disappointing to me that if Tech really is dead, I kind of wish that he got his dues, like, at the beginning of the season, kind of just, like, talking about him more. Though we did get, like, a nice little fee mention of him.
Yeah, I feel like they've been bringing him up a little bit more. And also, somebody noticed that, so with Fee, like, when she's talking about Tech in the background, remember how Omega brought Lula and Tech's goggles and, like, put them on Pabu for safekeeping? Like, they were there in the background. I mean, that was also because the Marauder was going to explode. And so those things were saved. so, here's the thing about these episodes, right? Like, we already kind of knew where everything was going except for Identity Crisis. Nobody predicted where Identity Crisis was going.
Yeah, Identity Crisis out of these three episodes was my favorite.
It was wild. Like, literally nobody...
We'll get to it.
So we do have a couple of recommendations. Nothing crazy. Alex and I were kind of talking about how, like, everything we've watched has been kind of meh, or, like, things that we're reading, whatever. But I did start the new Fallout series on Amazon Prime because it has our girl, Jackie Yellowjackets, in it before she gets eaten, I guess. And it also has Ben from Lost in it. Which is amazing.
I didn't
know
that. So, like, I recommended this show to you even though I haven't watched it yet. I just kept seeing, like, really good things about it.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I know a little bit about Fallout because I used to have a friend who was, like, super into it. But I've never seen, like, gameplay or anything. But I know it's a super popular video game.
Yeah. So it just – apparently it's been getting really good reviews. People are kind of comparing it to The Last of Us in terms of, like, adaptation.
Yes. Adaptation-wise, I can definitely see the comparison because it feels like they really brought the game to life. Tone, not at all.
No, not for the tone, but for the quality of adaptation, because video games are notoriously known for getting bad adaptation.
Yes. I really like it so far. I've watched two episodes, and I will go ahead and spoil just this one part. The dog does not die, even though it looks like the dog dies. The dog doesn't die.
Yeah.
I couldn't recommend this in good faith without spoiling that for myself, so I will spoil that for y'all. The dog's fine. Which honestly, like, the introduction of the dog gave me so many, like, Batcher vibes.
Aww.
If you know, you know. Like, it was very Batcher. But I really like it so far. Like, the lore is really cool. Somebody pointed out that, like, this show has the potential to be a really big hit for Amazon Prime if they do it justice because of the lore. Like, it's so extensive.
Mm-hmm.
It was also compared to, like, the Dharma Initiative in Lost. And I definitely see why that comparison was made. And I think that's also why it's so good, because you're like, oh.
Yeah,
like,
someone said it was very, like, mystery box, which is, you know, JJ Lost, like, his whole thing.
One of these days, we're going to do a Lost podcast.
It'll all come back around to JJ Abrams.
It always comes back to JJ Abrams. but yeah, I would recommend Fallout. I think it's really cool so far. It has a really interesting vibe. It is very violent. But it's a video game adaptation, so, like, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, the way the violence is, and even, like, the way the characters act, it's so tongue-in-cheek with, like, this is a video game, in my opinion. And I really like that. That's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex has a big recommendation for anybody who's planning to go to Japan for Celebration.
Yeah. So I didn't really have any recommendations this week. I did watch 7 of the 8 episodes of The Three Body Problem. And I think it's fine. Like, yeah. I don't think it's, like, bad. I don't think it's necessarily, like, great either.
Yeah, I only watched 2 episodes. I kind of, it's the same.
So I did watch that. It's not my recommendation, though. So I've been doing a lot of research for our Japan trip since we're going for Celebration, and I know probably some listeners are also going. I really, really like TDR Explorer's website, his YouTube videos, but also his he has a guidebook that you can purchase. I think it was $25. But I found it, like, really, really good, very worth it. He has one for Disney, Tokyo Disneyland, and he has one for Universal Japan. And it's really, really worth it. I don't know. I thought it was a good use of my money to buy it.
Well, I also love, so, like, when Alex says that she's been doing a lot of research, like, y'all don't understand. You don't understand the amount of research Alex has done.
But by the time it's next April, we're going to be, like, so confident. We're going to, like, we're going to be pros at being in Tokyo before we even get there.
And that's what happens when 2 Virgos go on a trip. But what I really love is, like, you bought the guide, and then you messaged me and you were like, oh yeah, I love that I already called that, like, this was the best value. It just, like, it just confirmed what you already knew.
Yeah,
and I loved that. Like, that was amazing.
Like, listen, I've never been to Asia.
No,
I never been on a plane ride this long before.
Nope.
It's going to be very different. I have been to Europe, and, like, I've been to France, where I do speak French, so I can communicate there. I've been to Italy, which I don't speak Italian, but we were in the main cities there, and I think English is probably more common in those cities in Italy than it is in, like, the major cities in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Despite, like, the average kind of person. Especially because I would think in Europe, English just becomes more common because it's kind of, all those countries are smaller and close together, and it's, like, a commonality they all have to, usually that's, like, the second language they probably would learn. So it's, like, definitely with the language barrier, I feel it's very important to go into this, like, prepared, well-researched, staying in hotels that are, like, well-reviewed in good locations. We have multiple allergies within our group. That is, I think, the biggest concern of the trip.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very daunting because, like you said, like, neither one of us have ever been to any part of Asia, and it's very different. Like, the culture is very different. So, like, yeah, it does take a lot of research, a lot of know-how, a lot of planning. I definitely, like, we're a year out, but I already feel, like, 10 times better than I did even, like, you know, 2 weeks ago, just because of, like, the information that you've been gathering, the things that I've been seeing.
Yeah. Definitely. No, I 100% agree with that. The more research I do, the less anxious I feel about going there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited. And actually, that brings us into, it's been 5 years since Celebration Chicago.
Crazy.
That is it's wild.
It's crazy that it's been that long.
That's wild. That also means that we've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, man, Celebration Chicago is, like, a core memory. It's, like, a canon event.
I also was thinking about how it was 5 days.
It hasn't been a
5 day celebration since then.
Yeah,
that was,
and we did all 5 days. Yeah,
I will say I am really appreciating that this upcoming one will be 3 days.
Mm. Yeah, well, especially with, like, the planning and it being so far away, like, it being shorter.
Yeah, but also just like it's so exhausting.
It is exhausting. I remember, like, a lot of people didn't stay for Chicago, like, on the Monday. And Monday was, like, our favorite day, like, out of all of them. But it was also because, like, a lot of people had left. But, I was, like, very drained. I lost my voice on, like, the second day.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I miss Chicago. That was such a good con. Like, that was such a good one.
And it was before the pandemic, too. Like, things are so different.
Things are so different. Oh my gosh. That was, like, and that was the first time we met in person. And, like, we've managed to meet, like, have some kind of trip or some kind of meetup, like, at least once a year since then.
Yeah.
Except for 2023, because we had twice, because it was Taylor Swift and when you got married.
Did we in 2020? Because that was the pandemic. I feel like we didn't.
We did, because we managed to, we went to Disney in February.
Oh, crap, we did.
Yeah, in February.
Right, like a month before the pandemic. You're right. I know. You're right.
Okay. I think about that all the time, because I'm like, did we in 2020? And we're like, yep, we did. Because then in 2021, that's when I came for Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's so true.
It was wild.
And then last year, twice.
Mm-hmm. And 2022 was Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anaheim was tiring.
Yes. Well, we had Disney too.
Yeah.
And it was stressful because that was like kind of the first big thing post-COVID.
I do remember that trip being the first time getting on a plane since the pandemic and it feeling very anxiety-inducing.
Yeah.
About being in small spaces. And then like also a lot of people we hung out with at that time got COVID.
Yeah.
We didn't somehow, but like a lot of people did.
Well, even people like in our like immediate group.
Yeah,
like,
in our hotel room.
Yeah. But somehow we didn't. So I remember you got super dehydrated though.
Yeah, because I wasn't taking my mask off.
Yeah.
At least I'm definitely not stressed about that.
No, I feel like with Japan, especially like with the masking culture in Japan anyway. Like, I feel really comfortable about it.
I feel like locals could be masking at the con, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just not as stigmatized either. Like, it's just...
It's just like, mask.
Yeah. If I wear a mask here ever, like, I get looks. And, like, sometimes I'll wear one to school because, like, they're currently renovating the school that I work in. And, like, I wore it like just to walk through like the hall that was being renovated because it like there was so much dust and everything. And every single teacher who saw me was like, oh, my God, are you OK? Are you sick? Oh, my God. And I'm like, it's dusty. Like, I have this tool now. I don't understand.
That's crazy.
I know. It's very stigmatized now. Also, like, I mean, I live in the South, but still.
Also, I think with Japan, like we're planning like gap days between different segments of our trip.
That will help.
And I'm hoping that will help. Like, like basically just like a kind of relax celebration prep day kind of thing. Let's just veg in the hotel. Like, I'm hoping that'll be good.
Well, and I kind of feel like, you know, this will be like the third celebration we've done. So I feel like celebration itself, like, isn't necessarily, like, the main event. So, like, we're doing it at – no, we're not doing it at the end anymore. We're doing Disneyland after.
We're doing it in the middle.
And I kind of think that it's good to have in the middle because I think Disneyland is what we're going to want to put most of our energy into.
True. And I don't know how this is all going to pan out, but it does seem like there's a lot of – hotels around the convention center, and I also, we don't know how many tickets they're selling for this thing, what kind of capacity it's gonna be, and if everyone's kind of get and the rates there are really reasonable, like the hotel prices around the convention center aren't very expensive, I think we're all gonna be staying in walking distance. It's gonna help a lot.
I think so too. Yeah.
Because we were walking distance in Anaheim, but it was still, like, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, it was a little bit farther than, like, we were expecting. Like, it was totally doable, but it was, like, a walk. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a walk.
I think most of the ones I was looking on the map were like 5, 10 minutes.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah. The option of just like going back to your room in the middle of the day if you hit a wall is like so nice.
Yeah, I agree. I think that'll be really, really nice to just kind of chill and vibe. And with us having those like break days, that can just be a like, let's just vibe and like watch like Japanese game shows or like just sit around and, you know, just chill out. Like, I think that'll be good to do.
Yeah, like go to 7-Eleven and do a haul of all these like snacks we're trying.
We'll do like a TikTok haul. Yeah, I'm really
maybe
excited
we'll
about
a
that.
Lipstick and Lightsabers TikTok account for celebration. Except like it's gonna get banned in the US, Shadow. Oh, yeah. You won't be able to use it.
Oh, yeah. They can't ban TikToks. Where else am I going to get my funny ha-has?
You're going to be on Reels.
I'm going to get depression. Oh, my God. That reminds me. So I got my hair cut the other day, and the woman who cuts my hair, I've been going to her forever. Like, her son is, like, almost 10. I've been, like, going to her since she's had her son. And he only just now, I don't know if he's on, like, YouTube Shorts or Instagram Reels, but he only just now got to the Grimace Shake.
What?
Yeah, that was a year ago.
Yeah, it was last summer. It was in the summer.
It was last summer.
I like remember I had one at like 4th of July.
He's like just now finding out about it and like asking her, can we get a Grimace Shake? And it's like, buddy, those are, they're gone. So I can't be on Instagram Reels. How am I? I'm going to miss everything.
No, but Shannon, Instagram Reels is going to become the place because all of America won't be on TikTok. Like, that's how Instagram Reels is going to get better, is because no one's going to have TikTok.
I would rather TikTok have my data than Meta.
No. Yeah, like, that's a whole other subject,
that's
though.
That's a whole other subject. But you're right. You are right. So some other news. We did get the Bridgerton season 3 trailer, which, Alex, how many times have you watched this trailer?
A lot. I'm so excited. I thought the trailer was really good. I don't know. You're probably not on Bridgerton Twitter, right?
Not really.
The discourse is so bad. It's like Raylo level bad. Like,
why?
Because, okay, The Canthony fans are pissed. Like, they are, like, taking out their anger onto the Pollen fans, onto Nicola and Luke.
But it's Penelope's season.
let me explain. They're all mad that season 2 did them dirty. Okay?
Did who dirty?
Canthony.
But
they're all, okay, let me, this is my point of view.
Okay.
They're mad that, so the thing with Canthony is that they get together at the very end. You don't get to see them get married. Like, there's like the whole point of season 2 is like the slow burn, right?
Right.
Like, and for me, I'm satisfied
that's what I want.
With that.
That's what I wanted.
You and me were satisfied with that.
Yeah.
Like, it can wrap up fast at the end and we don't care.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think the disconnect comes from the people who read the books first, and where they get together way earlier in the book.
Oh.
And
so they want to see them, like, married and,
yeah, like,
but there's gonna
be like
some
happily
of that.
Ever after kind of thing. So they're, but this is where it's getting, like, crazy. And, like I said, it's, like, Raylo-level discourse where they're just taking their anger out onto Pollen. Like saying, like, oh, like, they have no chemistry compared to Canthony. Luke's such a bad actor. Like, crazy.
That's,
like,
stupid.
Crazy. My God. Yeah. And then, like, and all of the moments of Canthony in the trailer are amazing, right? Like, I've watched all of those little, like, gifs of them. Like, they're so good.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see happily ever after Canthony in season 3.
I think so, too. Like, it seems like they're, because I think that we're going to see, like, married couple, like, Kate and Anthony.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously we're going to see a lot more of them than, like, we did with like Daphne and the Duke because Regé Jean Page left. Yeah, that's really weird.
I guess like I don't have anything about against the criticism because like I kind of get it because a lot of people are mad about how much they were going on about the Featheringtons last season and they didn't need that much screen time.
I mean, true.
That is true. But taking it out on Nicola and Luke is insane because I think that they have good chemistry and they're good actors. Like, that's crazy to me.
My only thing, and yes, Nicola, they have such great chemistry. She's a queen, can do no wrong. However,
I knew this was gonna happen.
I will say Colin is giving me the ick just a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it just is giving me the ick a little bit.
Okay.
Like, he had his glow up and everything, but, like, he's giving alpha.
Which, here's the thing, Shannon, he's more like that in the book.
Yeah.
And I think the fault, so, like, his character up until now, I feel like, has been very quiet and, like, and reserved.
Baby. Yeah.
And baby. And that's a choice that I guess the show made. But I think in the books, he comes off more like he does this season always.
Yeah.
Which
I'm kind of like Penelope.
I've already told you, like, I've read almost all the books now, and I kind of don't like any of the men, how any of them are portrayed in the books, and I much prefer all of the men in the show. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I trust Shonda for the most part because I've enjoyed the shows better than the book.
Yeah, I don't think it'll bother me as much when I'm watching it because of the way, like, Penelope has grown because she's kind of like, you know what, I'm over it. Like, I want to enter my hoe era.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that I'll like how she handles herself in the show, but he's giving me the ick just a little bit.
You know? People are also mad about Eloise and Cressida becoming friends.
Oh, I mean,
well, because Eloise is mad at Penn, so.
Yeah, she is.
She went to her arch nemesis and being
friends. But you know what they all just need? They need a feminine phenomenon.
One thing that I think I'm really excited about is the potential beginning of Benedict's story.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that as well. Like,
it's really kind of seemed hinted at in the trailer because his story is like Cinderella inspired. So his love interest is like Cinderella, and she has stepsisters and a wicked stepmother, and it's starting to get hinted that Cressida's family might be that family. It's not like that in the books, so it's not Cressida's family, but it's kind of, people are putting two and two together through the trailers that Sophie's stepsister could be Cressida.
That would be really cool. I would be interested in that. So we've also been getting more and more things about the Acolytes, which Alex and I were talking about when exactly we want to do, like, some Acolyte speculation, and we definitely still want to. We got to get through the Bad Batch first, obviously. But I'm really loving all the first looks, all the pictures.
Yeah. I really like the articles, like, reading people's thoughts on their characters and their thoughts on Leslie Headland. Like, everyone says the nicest things about Leslie. Sings her praises.
I'm feeling Rian Johnson in this Chili's tonight.
Well, you know, she worked with Rian Johnson once upon a time.
And it's really giving me that vibe of when people would talk about working with Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. Like, everything looks so interesting, and I really feel like this is going to be kind of like a fresh start for Star Wars in a way, because it's High Republic, and it's pretty removed from what we've seen before. My one thing is that for Nestra, they say because of all the things that she's gone through, she's a little bit more like the Phantom Menace Jedi, and I'm like, Vernestra, no!
Shannon, it makes sense. I know it's upsetting, but she's watched all of her friends die.
I know, but, like, because of, what was it? Like, the into like Defy the Storm or whatever, like I felt like she was moving more towards like Wayseeker vibes mm-hmm. and kind of like stepping away from the Jedi. So it kind of surprises me that she ends up like more doubled down yeah. the way they are in The Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
So like I wonder if it's that, like she's become much more like rigid and like conservative like those Jedi, or if it's just this like, you know, she's been through so much, so she's like way more guarded. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to find out for sure, because she has been through a lot. Like, she lost her master. She lost her Padawan. I mean, he's not dead, but she doesn't have him anymore. I mean,
he's going to die eventually because her lifespan. Yeah,
because he's a human. God, I thought about that in, okay, so if you're not reading the High Republic comics, like, totally understandable. However, it was just revealed that one of the characters from the Phase 2 run is still alive, and he's, like, super old now, and he fell in love with a Jedi, and I'm pretty sure that Jedi was a human or, like, had a human lifespan, which means that he's gone now, and it's been, like, 150 years. Like, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Like,
aww.
God. Yeah, I will say that the comics are popping off. Lorna D, it's setting up a lot for Lorna D's next audio drama, I think. Like, Lorna D is, like, kind of one of my favorite characters. She's kind of turning, like anti-hero-ish.
Ooh.
Like, not really, like, villain anymore, but, like, I really like her. She's very interesting. She hates Marky and Rose, so it's kind of like the enemy of my enemy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. It's exciting.
So the last thing is definitely the biggest thing, and it's that we are getting season 2 of Tales of the Jedi, but it's Tales of the Empire.
Yes.
And it's going to be
Barriss Offee's in it.
Yes, it's Barriss, and it's Morgan Elsbeth, which surprised me.
Very surprising to me.
Yeah.
I'd like to see how they mirror each other in any way, like how they connect.
I think it's going to be like women, you know, kind of taking this darker path and
yeah.
thinking it's the right way, but it really not being. Because like with Morgan, she's a Night Sister. And so like for me, I'm like, you know, she's from Ahsoka. I kind of don't care. She's kind of whatever. But she's a Night Sister, which is really interesting. So like all of her sisters die, like, well, mm-hmm. obviously not all of them, but you know,
it's turning out that like a lot of them are dead.
My sisters actually lived. But like, you know, she's on her own, and so she is gonna take solace in the Empire, and like Thrawn's gonna be a part of that, which Thrawn, like, man,
Thrawn is hot. We got Thrawn. We got a hot Thrawn.
We got hot Thrawn. Some people are mad that he doesn't look. That was
one of the first things I texted you after I saw the trailer, and you were at work, so like it's not like you saw it like hours later.
Yeah,
and I was just like, Thrawn's hot.
You were like two words, hot Thrawn. I was like, okay. Yeah, people were mad that he doesn't look like Rebels Thrawn, and I'm like, I'm so happy.
Bumps. He doesn't have the bumps on his forehead. Because
Rebels Thrawn doesn't know what sex is. This Thrawn does. Well, it's
the same Thrawn that's from the books.
Yeah.
This is Book Thrawn.
This is Book Thrawn. Book Thrawn? Yeah.
Like Thrawn that knows Anakin Thrawn.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm really interested in that. And then, of course, like Barriss's story is going to be amazing. I find it so. Somebody pointed out, they're like, every time it's like a dark side person, they're like, meet your new master. And then it's Vader, and everybody's so shocked, you know?
It's always Vader.
It's always Vader. But I do think that that is really interesting because obviously Vader knows who she is.
Yeah.
And knows like she's the reason Ahsoka left and everything.
Yeah.
Which is kind of bittersweet because if Barriss hadn't have done that, Ahsoka probably would have died. Like, she probably would have been killed in Order 66.
Wow. Yeah. So I do wonder if there's ever, like, a possibility in a different reality where Ahsoka is actually in the position that Barriss is and she's the one being trained to be an Inquisitor.
Yeah, I think so because, I mean, I think that there's definitely a reality where she sided with Barriss, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of what she was wanting. So I think that'll be really interesting. And people have speculated about seeing Trilla in this as well. I would really love to see Trilla again.
Yeah, like, who's in this, like, first class of Inquisitors?
Yeah, like, it's... I find the Inquisitors really fascinating, especially the ones who were straight-up Jedi. Like, some of them are just Force users and things like that, but a lot of them are, you know, Jedi who were turned. And we see that, like, the Jedi were not great. And when we talk about the Bad Batch, especially Episode 10, like... they kidnapped children, and the Empire are also kidnapping children, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's, you can definitely see why people would pick this path. And then it's basically just more of the same.
I really wonder, like, what's going to happen to Barriss, because I saw the creator, he gave a quote saying, like, she was supposed to die. And then they decided, no, because he had this story for her. Is a story, like, the same story that has been in his head all these years?
I think probably not. I bet it's kind of, like, evolved, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she dies in this series. I wouldn't like it.
People are so mad.
I know, but I could see it making sense.
I agree with you that I can see it happening, and people are going to be so mad.
Yeah, but the only reason why I'm like, the only reason why I think it wouldn't fit is because how does that echo Morgan's story? Because obviously we know Morgan doesn't die, at least not in this. Like,
wait, doesn't she die in Ahsoka?
Yeah, but this is like way before Ahsoka.
Oh, okay, but. But that would mirror Barriss dying, wouldn't it? Because we already know she dies.
I guess it depends on how far it goes, right? Yeah. Like, is it going to stay kind of in this, like, early days? Is it going to go all through, like, because, I mean, we did go all through Dooku's life.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting. I do think what's really cool about this is that Barriss, Dooku, and Ahsoka are all, like, Jedi who left. And then Morgan is obviously, like, a Night Sister. Like, we had theorized seeing, like, Ventress in her place. So I'm really interested to see, like, how she's going to fit into this web. Because I would argue that, like, Barriss fits in perfectly with what we saw in Tales of the Jedi. So this being Tales of the Empire, I wonder how, like, Morgan's going to play into that. Because we just don't know much about her. Like, she's so new. Yeah, but May 4th is going to be wild because we're going to get that. The Bad Batch is ending right around there. we're going to get Phantom Menace in theaters. We're going to see an Acolyte sneak peek. Like,
I think I'm doing a double feature with Challengers.
Are you?
Phantom Menace and Challengers.
I really want to see Challengers, but I don't think I'll be able to do both. And I do want to see Phantom Menace so that I can see.
Challengers is actually coming out the weekend before.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to the theater that weekend, I think.
Yeah. I might. Challengers looks, like, spectacular.
I've read some reviews, and they're just like, this is the best movie of the year.
Yeah, like, pack it up.
People saying, like, the like, end is, like, crazy, and Zendaya is, like, so good in it. And, well, like, someone said compared this is it like, to Saltburn.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They compared it to Saltburn, and I'm like, okay.
I'm so excited.
I'm really excited.
And, like, I know everyone was like, oh, this is a Saltburn that everyone's going to love. I like Saltburn.
Yeah, I also like Saltburn.
Like, but the, like, more I sit with Saltburn, the more I like it, actually.
Yeah, every time I go on Amazon Prime, I want to watch Saltburn again. But, like, I can't. Like, nobody else in my house will watch Saltburn.
What that made me think about Barry at Coachella yesterday.
Yeah,
like, Serena, like, waved at him, and then he just kind of, like, was, like, all bashful. Yeah. And I thought it was really funny.
Somebody said that, like, he can't believe that he pulled such a baddie. Like,
yeah.
All right, I think with that, it is finally time to talk about The Bad Bachelor, which actually, speaking of The Bad Bachelor, you know, we do have our golden bachelorette, Echo. Well, the golden bachelor is already divorced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 3 months. I woke up on, I guess it was Friday morning. I woke up and I saw a TikTok that was like, the Golden Bachelor and Teresa are going to be on GMA this morning with an announcement. And it was just like people speculating what the announcement was going to be. And a lot of people didn't think that they were going to say that they're breaking up, because never in Bachelor history has like a breakup just been like announced on like a morning show. It's always just like been leaked to the tabloids.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Yeah. So funny. they announced their divorce after 3 months.
Echo Bad Batch would never. He's the superior Golden Bachelorette.
I also think that Golden Bachelorette Echo probably wouldn't remarry and just vibe and date.
I agree with that. Like,
I don't know who.
You know what I was about to say again?
What?
You know who I was about to compare him to?
No.
Harry Styles.
Wait, how is Echo like Harry Styles?
Like you said, he just like vibes and dates. He's like a mystical fae that comes into your life. And
I don't know if I see Echo like that, to be honest. I don't know if I'm agreeing here. Like Echo, a fae? I don't think so.
He's like the one night stand that changes your life forever.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if I agree, but okay.
That's what happens when you say, oh, they'll just vibe and date. It's like, oh, like Harry Styles. Anyway, episode 10, Identity Crisis. Everybody was like, whose identity crisis are we having? Who's having an identity crisis? And most of us were like, this has to be the tech reveal. Spoiler alert, it's not the tech reveal. But were you expecting like an Emery episode?
No.
No.
It was these three episodes is my favorite one.
Yeah. No, like easy.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Yeah, so like Emery doubts herself like this entire episode. And like kudos to the animators for portraying that in just like her expressions, because it wasn't something that she was verbally saying, but like it was just like the way she would like hesitate and like think before she said things. Mm-hmm. You could really read that she was second guessing everything.
Yeah, like I was kind of hoping to see more of Emery, but we kind of talked about this, like we only have like three episodes left, and I feel like there's still so much story that they could tell. Like there's so much with Emery that we still don't know. We haven't seen, like, is there going to be something with the CX trooper? Like, you know, we've got to find Tantus. Like, there's still so much going on. So this episode opens up with a mom and a child, and the child is clearly force sensitive. And so bounty hunters are called, which is, of course, Cad Bane, our favorite kidnapper.
He's always at the scene of the crime of a kidnapping.
Yeah, if somebody needs to get kidnapped, he's there. I totally forgot that we knew Cad Bane was going to be in this.
Totally forgot. You knew? Forgot.
Yeah, he was in the trailer.
He was?
Yeah, wasn't he? We knew Cad Bane was going to be here. We knew Cad Bane was going to show up. We knew it just like Ventress was going to show up.
I knew
up.
He was in that episode. Was it season 2?
Yeah.
I remember that. I don't remember him being in the trailer.
Oh. Well, somehow we knew that Cad Bane was going to be here, which honestly I think is really funny that let me think about the way that I want to word this. I think it's funny the way that he is a child kidnapper, because he's so, like, he could easily be like a Pedro Pascal reluctant dad so easily.
Yeah.
Like, if we were going to get a Cad Bane show, I would want it a la The Last of Us, where he's taking this child somewhere and then is like, I'm your dad now.
I mean, that's The Mandalorian.
But no, I know, but like, but I want it with Cad Bane.
But Star Wars is just full of reluctant dads.
It's full of reluctant dads and kidnapping children. That's what Star Wars is about. That's how Phantom Menace starts.
True. True.
That's literally Qui-Gon Jinn. Anyway, Cad Bane takes this child to Tantus, because that's where they're supposed to be. Emery, meanwhile, feels like she is entitled to being promoted because Nala Se has been locked up. And I'm kind of surprised that Hemlock was like, yeah, sure. Like,
yeah, so easily. He was like, so yeah, easily. Okay.
Yeah, he's follow like, all right. Me. Yeah, and he immediately shows her the vault in Project Necromancer. And I was kind of like, are you, Hemlock, are you sure?
I think that to his perspective, she doesn't break the rules and she helped, I guess, try to keep Omega there. Like, she wasn't, like, cavorting with Nala Se. Like, she wasn't, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I see that. But I just, like, with her being a clone, and that's kind of, like, the biggest thing here, right? Is, like, she is a clone. I feel like in this era, like, clones are becoming, like, it's not that they're untrustworthy. It's just that the Empire wants to do away with them.
Yeah.
So it kind of surprises me that, like, she really does, like, fly under the radar.
Yeah. I guess, like, with her scientific background, though.
Yeah, that's like, true.
She has more experience and seniority than other people in the lab, probably.
Well, because they did mention that, like, everything was stalled because Nala Se was locked up. And it's like, if you want to keep this project going, like, somebody mm-hmm. has to replace Nala Se. And we find out that what's in the vault, I was fully expecting to see Pickle Snoke's in this vault. Okay, I was like already setting myself up like, oh man, like we're gonna see Pickle Snoke's, like it's gonna be a trough situation, and then no, there's children in here.
Yeah, like it was a little prison with children in it.
It was giving Stranger Things.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that.
It was really giving Stranger Things with these children that are locked up in there. And what they're doing with these children is they're trying to replicate their M-count. And it's Omega's blood that is the key to replicating yeah. the M-count.
So we find out that Omega isn't Force sensitive, but her DNA is compatible with M-count replication.
Yes. So I think that's what she was made for, right? It's not that they made a Force-sensitive clone. Yeah. They made blood capable of replicating M-count. So, yeah. Like, she was, like, a step in the process.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. So, it's, like, her blood is, like, vital to, obviously, they want to make, like, Palpatine clones. Like, that's still what they want this for. But it does make me think because, like, however many years later, like what, like 50 years later, 20 years, 30, I don't know how long until Grogu, but they're looking for him because they want his blood. So do they still have Omega's? Like, do they keep hers like in a storage somewhere yeah. and that's how they're making everything? Well, like,
but also to make Palpatine clones, are they mixing Omega with Palpatine?
Is Omega Palpatine's mom?
The clones of Palpatine. The she's mom of the clones, Snoke's not mom. Of yeah. yeah. So that's why I'm a little bit confused. Like, did they not prepare like Palpatine prepared for his death? You don't think that there's like his blood in storage somewhere?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So like why would they need Grogu's blood? Couldn't they just mix Omega and Palpatine?
I guess that's the thing, right? Is like we still don't know, and I kind of get the feeling that they are still like piecing that together.
They don't know.
They don't know either. But what's really interesting about this, because like Emery obviously is like super, she's really struggling with like these kids being kept here because the kids don't know why they're here. And even Hemlock is like, they're easier to control because they're so young and they don't know why they're here. The kids, like one of the kids like really wants to escape. And Emery sees herself in these kids and she says something to Nala Se. I can't remember what it was because she goes and talks to her and Nala Se only cares about Omega. She does not care about these
yeah.
kids.
Yeah. Like she was like, how, like something like, how could you like let this happen or like be okay, like okay with this? And she's like, I had to protect Omega.
Yeah.
Like all this was done for Omega, yet like these other kids
are suffering.
Are nothing to Nala say. Like, they don't matter.
Yeah, but I guess, like, at the end of the day, like, without Omega, like, there's nothing the Empire can do with them.
Yeah, and, like, it's so sad, like, the kids are like, well, they told us that we'd get to go home. Like, when can I leave? Nala Say was going to find out.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm thinking of with Nala Say, like, tells this to Emery. And Emery says something about, like, it's like, oh, like I was.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was expendable to Nala Say, too. It's like, is Emery, like, the precursor to, like, was Emery, like, trial one of Omega?
Yeah, and then, like, Nala Say wasn't as close with Emery.
Well, why would she if she failed and, like, wasn't if her blood wasn't the right,
like, also, it didn't work. I, like, wonder, yeah, if she was a failed version of Omega, like, why is it female clones that have this capacity?
Because we are vessels.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it might not, it's probably, I don't know, but I do feel like maybe Emery was, like, a precursor, and, like, she feels abandoned by Nala Say, kind of like these kids, I guess.
You know what would be really, like, horrific, though, is that if they're actually, these clones are made to actually give birth to whatever abomination that they're trying to make.
That would be really horrific.
Horrific.
That is some, like, level 10 body horror.
Yeah.
Oh my god, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really scary. I don't think that they would ever do that. No.
A kid's show.
I could see them maybe, like, in a book, maybe.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, hidden away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would be insane, though. Because, yeah, like, why are we making female clones? Like, why do we need female clones, you know? That is definitely a question. I don't know if we'll get the answer to that question. But I really like seeing Emery slowly realize that she is not okay with what's going on. Like, when I say slowly, like, I think she immediately, when she goes into the vault, sees that, like, she doesn't vibe mm-hmm. with this at all. But when she sees, like, the baby from the beginning being brought in and, like, seeing how sad these kids are, like, I think she is going to be very instrumental with breaking these kids out.
Yeah, I think she's going to help Omega.
I think so, too. Like, somebody tweeted that it's going to be, like, Andor, like, one way out, you know?
Yeah.
And I could definitely see that, because she even, the Lula that she confiscated from Omega, she kept, and she gives it to one of these kids.
This was a really sad episode.
Yeah. Well, and, like, Hemlock is, you know, this is all happening, and, like we said, like, it's basically stalled until they have Omega back. So he's putting all of his resources into getting Omega, and he calls Tarkin. It was like, hey, I need more money. And Alex was like, is Tarkin the CFO of the Empire?
No, he is.
He is.
I'm not asking. He is. He's totally the CFO. Every time we see him in, like, supplemental things, he's always telling people they're over budget.
Yeah. And, like, we were just looking up some other things, and it's like, anytime there's a new project proposal, it gets proposed to Tarkin because he has to approve the budget.
He is the CFO.
Yeah. And he's very mad about Hemlock wasting all this money, especially because I think he feels very left out of the club because he mm-hmm. doesn't know what Hemlock's doing. Like, he doesn't know what Project Necromancer is. He doesn't even know that it's called Project Necromancer. Like, he has no knowledge of this. So he's very mad that mm-hmm. he's not in on the joke, basically.
Yeah.
Hemlock and Palpatine have an inside joke, and Tarkin doesn't, and he's very upset.
Does this make Palpatine, like, the CEO?
Well, he's the CEO, isn't he?
Yeah. So, basically, CEO is having a little side relationship with the science officer.
Yes, the chief science officer.
And the CFO doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Does that make... Who's the COO, then?
We'll have to think about it.
Have to think about that. Have to think about this bureaucratic structure.
Maybe
this
we'll works. Have to have like a PowerPoint party where we
explain the structure.
The business structure of the empire.
You know who would have all these answers? You know exactly who would have all these answers?
No.
Cyril.
True.
Yep. Cyril would know.
Yeah.
Because Cyril is all about that bureaucracy.
I kind of miss him.
I miss him so much. You don't understand. Like, they you know, there was new Andor scenes in Star Tours, which also, like, nobody moved when Andor came on the screen for Star Tours. And I'm like, why aren't we screaming?
Swooning.
I'm literally swooning. He's like, I believe in you. And I'm like, me?
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 You talking to me?
You talking to me? But ever since then, I'm like, I really want to rewatch Andor. And, like, I think about Cyril, like, kind of all the time. Like, I really miss him. Like, Star Wars was really cooking when they made his character.
I know. Like, all of the characters in Andor, they were cooking.
They were cooking. Yeah. Cyril would know. Like, I feel like Cyril, Hemlock would be no match for Cyril. No match. He would just be like, well, according to Section 5A of Imperial Code, this, you're in violation. And Hemlock would be like, what? But yeah, identity crisis, I guess, like, really is, like, the crux of it is Emery having her identity crisis. Like, is she going to stay loyal to the Empire? Like, and I honestly don't think that she can, because she knows what her work is doing now. Her work is involving these children, and I think that for her is what's going to draw the line. And I think, and we've kind of already alluded to it, but I think seeing Omega back again is also going to be what kind of changes everything.
That interaction that she has, so this is, we'll get to there later. It's in episode 12, so I'll get to it. But there is a really interesting interaction between Omega and Emery when they're, like, reunited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I again, like, her possibly being, like, the first iteration of Omega, like, that would also lead to some very interesting questions, some very interesting feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of takes us to episode 11, which is the point of no return, which, once again, no tech, unfortunately. Although the notes do say that Fee was tracked back to Pabu by tech.
That's what, well, I don't like calling him, like, the whatever you
the
call
CX. It. Yeah, the CX yeah. trooper. I know.
It's just for the purpose of the notes, he's called Tech.
Yeah. Which, and here's the thing, like, we knew somehow that Pabu was going to be found, and we find out that they say the Trandoshan gave them information, which has to be Cid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, has to be Cid. So it's like, why can't she just mind her business? Like, I'm sorry.
We haven't even seen her and she's making me mad.
I know. I was like, I don't understand why that's happening. But, you know, Hemlock is like, you have to find Omega. Everybody has to find Omega. So CX Trooper Tech tracks Fee, like, tracks her ship back to Pabu. And is immediately, like, the second he lands, immediately has eyes on the batch, immediately has eyes on Omega, and he's like, it's go time.
He calls the Empire, and they bring in all their cavalry, like, it's
which
not going to be good.
And, like, here's the thing, right? The batch was, like, preparing to leave.
I know. That's the crazy thing is, like, they were, like, packing the ship. Getting ready to go. They were, like, 5 minutes from leaving. Yes. Omega left the goggles behind.
And Lula. Yeah.
But later we find out why that happened. Because when the Empire gets there, they blow up the Marauder.
Yeah.
So we couldn't have the goggles and Lula in the ship.
Yeah, that would be too much. Tech can die, but the goggles and Lula.
But you know what, Shannon? Maybe that's more proof that Tech's alive because he's going to need his goggles when they get him back.
Well, yeah, because he's got, like, a -4 in both eyes. He's going to need his glasses, obviously.
So the fact that they took those goggles out, maybe that means something.
I mean, the CX trooper did say domicile, Alex. Like, yeah, I immediately, and like, here's the thing with this CX trooper, right? Like, they put so much focus on this CX trooper, and we know that, like, there's multiples of them, but this is clearly still the same one. And it's just the way they do things. Like, immediately blows up the ship. Immediately. And then immediately, like, blows up all of the ports. They were, like, cut off all the boats, access.
Yeah.
It's so systematic. And, like, even the rest of the Empire and, like, the other troopers who come in are kind of like, what are you doing? And he's like, this is, like, what do you mean, what am I doing? Like... I'm winning. That's what I'm doing. And when he blows up the Marauder, it injures Wrecker. So he's out of commission for this whole episode. Yeah, that was
worrying to me.
Yeah. It's
he's
like,
okay.
He's, like he's fine.
In Fallout, he's okay.
Yeah, but he, like, Pabu's in complete chaos. Like, this whole episode is just Pabu in chaos and them trying to escape. Hunter and Batcher were, like, off doing their own little side quest. Crosshair and Omega were, you know, helping people, trying to find a way out. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the big moment, Omega's like, I have to turn myself in.
Yeah. And you know, it makes sense to Crosshair. Like, Crosshair doesn't really fight her on it at all because he knows it's, like, the only way to save everyone on Pabu. And they come up with a plan that, you know, like, oh, Omega's going to have a tracker on her body. And then Crosshair is going to try to shoot a tracker onto the ship as it's taking Omega away.
Because that was the thing. It's like, Omega was like, I can have a tracker on me. And Crosshair is immediately like, they're going to take that from you.
Which they do.
Which they do. And so she's like, well, you'll just have to shoot it onto the ship. And here's the thing, right? We talked about this last week with... her relationship with Crosshair versus her relationship with Hunter. I think Hunter would have done absolutely everything in his power so that Omega would not do this.
100%.
Yes. Whereas Crosshair is like, you're right.
But, and Crosshair also sees her abilities and puts more, like, he has more confidence in Omega being able to take care of herself.
Yeah. Like, I think that Hunter probably would have, like, I think he could have even gone so far as to, like, knock her out so, like, she can't try to escape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because he is so fiercely protective. And, like, they all are. We've talked about this before. But I do think Crosshair, because he escaped with Omega and he spent so much time with her at Tantus, like, he really saw how capable she is. And he knew that there was no talking her out of it. Like, there was no way out of it. And he had been doing so much better, like, with his shooting. And it's like, he was going to have to shoot this tracker. And he misses.
Oh, my God. My heart sank.
The parallels, too, with him watching the ship fly away with Omega to Hunter. Like, the first time they took her. That was some pain right there.
And right at the end of that episode, it had me wondering, like, how is Hunter going to react?
And then they don't show us how he reacts.
Well, they show in the next episode in Juggernaut.
They already knew. Like, they had already had the conversation when we picked back up with the batch.
Not Hunter, though, but Wrecker did. Wrecker seemed mad. Did you find that?
I mean, they were all mad, but, like... Yeah. I was kind of expecting, like, a
fight. Yeah, I thought Hunter was going to, like, blow up.
Yeah, I was expecting, like, a fight and for them to be, you know, like, this to be, like, a real low point. But they rally very quickly.
Yeah, and then nothing happened in this episode. Then
nothing happened, yeah.
No, like, this is probably my least favorite episode of the season, to be honest. There were some parts I enjoyed, but like you said, like, I would have liked them to use some of the time that they were like trying to get Rampart for so long. Like, they should have shaved that by 5 minutes and added more like batch interaction at the beginning.
Yeah, I would have liked so much more to see them talking about like Omega being gone and more about them kind of like just interacting and dealing with the fact that, like, you know, they've lost Omega again. like yeah. feeling like a tech, like feeling the tech absence, like, or just and, like, something
character yeah. character work, you know,
like this episode actual... is it's very action heavy, and I do think it has some interesting moments for sure. You know, like there is that Omega Imri interaction because Omega is brought back to Tantus, and I also do think that it's very interesting. Crosshair reveals that he always knew of a way to find out how to get to Tantus, but he's so deathly afraid of going back to that
place. Yeah, his PTSD is, like, so bad.
Yeah, like, his hand is shaking more than ever in this episode. Yeah,
when he was talking about his hands shaking, I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, so, like, clearly the only thing that would get him to go back to Tantus is to rescue Omega. And I think they could have also spent a little bit more time talking about that. Because I would have liked to see that a little bit more, because Omega really did, like, kind of calm and make Crosshair feel safe. And I think he's getting kind of back into that, like, fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
So Crosshair says that the way that they can figure out where Tantus is by tracking down Admiral Rampart. And we had to remember who Rampart was, okay? We're fake fans. You guys know this. But Rampart, for anybody else who also forgot, he's the reason that clones were being decommissioned. So this was, like, very beginning of Bad Batch, all the way at the beginning. He's like, we're going to switch to regular clones. You guys can get out of here. Palpatine ordered him to destroy Topoka City and then let him take the fall for that destruction. So he has been imprisoned at a labor camp. And because he was kind of in the know, Crosshair knew that he would know, like, where to get the information. And Rampart is very disheveled. He's in his prison era, which is great. Do love that.
He does look good.
He does look good. He looks great. I'm so sorry to this man, but...
Because we didn't care.
I was like, whatever, man. I did like seeing them drag him around like a rag doll, though. That was kind of funny. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But we realize that he doesn't know the coordinates, but he knows of a way to get there. So it's like...
At the end of the episode, they still don't know where Tantus is.
Yeah, the only thing that has changed in this episode is that we now have Rampart.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm part of this now.
Yeah, he's part of the... Like, he's okay. An honorary batch now. So... We do see Hemlock leading Omega into the vault and, like, locking her in there. Yeah. Which, again, Hemlock, horrible decision. Obviously, Omega is going to rally the children.
He doesn't know Omega well enough, I think.
She escaped?
True.
Is Hemlock, like, dumb?
Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Like, she's going to, like... Dude, she needs solitary confinement.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, she's so gonna rally these children.
100%.
Like, 1,000%. 100%.
And, like, that one conversation I was alluding to before with Emery and Omega, Omega comes back and Emery's like, you know, like, for what it's worth, like, I'm really glad you're safe. And she's like, am I safe?
Am I safe? Like, be so for real. Yeah,
Emery has no idea what the world is like outside of the Empire.
No, she doesn't. I don't think she's ever been outside of a lab ever, which neither had Omega until all these adventures, right?
But didn't Nala say, like, sneak her, like, books and stuff?
I think so. Like, she knew a little bit.
I wonder if that would make, like, Emery even, like, more resentful that, like, she was, like, not the favorite and didn't get
anything
books or, like...
Yeah.
Whatever. Hollows.
Yeah. Like, well, and for sure. And, like, her aging has obviously been accelerated because Omega isn't. Like, Omega's growing at, like, a normal rate. Like, she is to Nala Se what Boba Fett was to Jango Fett.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I could definitely see her being super resentful of that. But I think this is also serving as, like, a really interesting juxtaposition because Omega has seen the world, and we've been reminded of that through Crosshair. Like, she's been to so many different places, she's met so many different people. She, like, for sure is going to rally the kids, she's for sure gonna rally Emery. Like, even if they didn't put her in the vault, like, I do think that she was gonna crack Emery's resolve. But that's something that Hemlock wouldn't have known. I do think Hemlock should know that she's gonna rally the kids.
Yeah.
Like, come on. We also didn't mention this, but we finally saw the boys.
Yeah, the boys were there.
The boys were there, and they were eating some ice cream and, like, wearing Hawaiian shirts. do you think they survived?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were born to be soldiers. I think yeah. They're okay.
Mox, Stack, and Deke. I remember their names this time.
You remember?
Deke. How could I forget Deke? Yeah, I think stacked some boxes and then they hid in the stack.
Do you think they'll be back in the last three episodes at any point?
No. I think that they might be like in the background for sure.
you do think we'll see them in the background?
Maybe. Like, I think they could be like in the background, but I don't think it's gonna be.
Do you think that everyone's gonna leave Pabu now because it's not like safe from the Empire anymore?
I think it's Imperial occupied now. Yeah. So I think that it's going to be hard for them to escape. And see, like, that's the thing, too. It's like, are they going to go back and liberate Pabu? Like, we don't have time for that. Like, we don't have time.
Tarkin's probably going to bring his fist down and say, stop wasting money on this, like, planet.
Maybe. I mean, they might, especially knowing that Omega's gone, like, they might just leave.
Yeah.
But, like, they have to rebuild, like, all of their stuff. Again. Like, their entire livelihoods are destroyed on Pabu.
They have to rebuild again.
Yeah, again. Literally again. which they'll need the boys' expertise for that, obviously.
So, the boys are the, like, city council now.
Yes, of course. Yeah, they're elected officials now, the boys.
The teenage boys.
The teenage boys. The teenage clone boys.
But, like, maybe they're adults by now because of their accelerated growth.
I mean, like, so that's kind of the thing. Like, that is one thing. I am loving season three, and I think season three is so good. But it has become apparent with these last three episodes that I feel like they're kind of dropping plot lines a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, with them, it's like they didn't end up really, like, I didn't think that they were ever going to matter when they were originally introduced, but it's just kind of a weird throwaway thing. And then, like, there's a lot of more stuff with Emery that I think we could see, which we probably will. But then, like, even with Pabu and, like, with Fee, like, I feel like we need more time.
The purpose of the boys was to show how the Empire just up and left and, like, left clones behind.
Yeah,
and didn't
I guess
care.
It is. Yeah, I guess it is reinforcing that they really don't care about the clones.
They just, like, left them behind, like, they on this planet that they abandoned.
And I guess that's the thing, because, like, clones are really expensive because of their accelerated growth. So you have to, like, keep producing them, and that's more expensive than just getting recruits.
You sound like Tarkin talking about the money, like, and the finances.
I feel like that's really just the crux of everything with the Empire. It's like, oh, it's too expensive, we're not going to do that anymore. Like,
Tarkin.
He's a girl boss. What can I say? Like, Tarkin could be on Selling Sunset. Like,
what?
He's on a budget. Like, he
is like the Oppenheimer boys.
Yeah. Tarkin Oppenheim. Yeah, that's exactly what Tarkin
is.
Is
he like Jason, or is he like, what's the other one's name?
Brett. I don't know. I feel like probably Brett.
Really? I think he's a Jason.
You think he's a Jason? I feel like Jason is softer than Brett.
Hmm.
Or maybe not. I will tell you one thing. I don't think Tarkin would ever have a workplace relationship.
No.
He knows that you're that right. Is frowned upon.
So maybe he is more of a Brett.
Yeah, I think so. So our next episode is called Into the Breach. Then we get Flash Strike, and then the cavalry has arrived. I am, like, so convinced that the cavalry has arrived is going to be them storming Tantus. like so convinced that that's what that's going to be. And that's why I feel like we're going to run out of time to like show other things because it's going to end on Tantus, right?
I just like hope that I really strongly feel like this wild goose chase with Rampart is going to be a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, just give us the coordinates. Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like Into the Breach is going to be a little bit more of the wild goose chase. Maybe we'll get a little bit more of Omega. I feel like maybe Flash Strike, the Bad Batch, figures out where they're supposed to be. And then the cavalry has arrived. It's going to be like the big breakout and like destruction of Tantus. Do you think Rex and Echo are going to come back and be part of that?
No, I don't think so.
See, like, that's another thing. Like, I feel like that's another thread that's, like, super kind of left open. And people have speculated they think it's because there's going to be, like, a Rex show. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like they could have added more of that in to Bad Batch.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I do wonder if, like, what is the reason for this Rampart thread? Like, I feel like the easier thing to do was just for them to have Omega's coordinates. Like, let's say, like, Omega had put two trackers on her and they only took the one. Like, they confiscated one.
Yeah, but I feel like that would kind of negate the emotional impact of Crosshair missing the shot. True. But then again, like, I feel like the way to make up for it.
Yeah.
The way to make up for it would be for this Rampart thing to work, but it should have only taken one episode, I feel like.
Yeah, like, why didn't he get the coordinates at the end of this episode?
Yeah, because that was the thing, right? Like, he should have made the shot, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. So, like, a way to, like, atone, quote-unquote, for that would be for him to, like, face his fear and that, like, reveal that he does know a way to get back to Tantus, and then they should have gotten that information, or like there should have been like a little bit more of something. Like, I really hate to say this, but I do kind of feel like Juggernaut was like a little bit of a throwaway.
You know, maybe we're gonna regret saying this, and then next week whatever they have in store with like the coordinate stuff is gonna be really good.
I mean, like, that's kind of what happened with season two, right? Like, the first half of that season we were just so like whatever. And then it turned and we're like, okay, you know, so yeah, like,
maybe next episode we're going to be like, oh, we were so wrong with our speculation. This made a lot of sense.
Yeah. The current plan is that our next episode will be episodes 13 and 14. And then the finale will be its own episode, maybe with a little bit of Acolyte speculation, because we'll have some more knowledge of that around then. I am really excited for the finale, but I kind of feel bittersweet because, like, one, I'm sad that it's ending. Two, obviously I want answers. And three, I feel like we need more time, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I am really excited to see, like, where it's all going to go and, like, how is it going to leave off? Like, I kind of get this feeling that, like, even though the season's ending, like, this isn't going to be the last that we see of the Bad Batch characters.
I hope so. I hope that's the case.
I mean, I still think that this is going to end with the Batch joining the Rebellion, for sure. Like, I think that that's kind of just where it's headed. But I do wonder if, like, I mean, obviously, Omega doesn't need to leave the Batch anymore because she's not actually Force-sensitive. So, at least that shouldn't be a fear anymore.
Yeah, like going to train with Ventress.
Yeah. I mean, she could still train with Ventress. That would still be really cool. You know, that would be cool. But she's busy. She's got to go find her husband. I want to see that. I want to see her find her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else about these three episodes that you think we need to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of The Bad Bachelor. Only three more episodes left of The Bad Batch is coming to an end. It's so sad. But if you want to keep the conversation going, you can find us pretty much always on Twitter or Instagram at @lip_lightsabers. I am at McCarter Shannon, and Alex is at Alex Leonis. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.